Fascinating. You don't have to wear the mask if you're the one who's speaking. So I will take advantage of that protocol with your permission, of course. So I wanted to start a new unit tonight. I think that maybe we'll spend 4 or 5 sessions on it, depending on your interest and depending how it goes. And that is on the subject of Gittin in the Beis Din. This is obviously a major focus of practice of the Beis Din, that we take care of Jewish divorce. And it's something that requires expertise. As the Gemara in Kiddushin says, Moshe Eini Adebetiv Gittin Kiddushin Lo Yehelo Eisek Yimayim, somebody who is not very proficient, particularly as the Mepharshim point out, when it comes to Gittin, when it comes to Jewish divorce, Kiddushin, it's a little bit easier to be Masada Kiddushin, but it says Gittin B'Kiddushin. If you have to do a Kiddushin after there's already been a get, so that also requires the expertise to know what's a kosher get and what's not a kosher get. But the Dagesh, the emphasis is on really being an expert when it comes to laws of Gittin, because any slight mistake in terms of the way that a get is done, the way that it's written, or the way that it's authorized, and so forth, could lead to an invalid get. If there's an invalid get, and then a woman would remarry, that would be considered to be adultery. If children would be born from the second union, then they could be mamzerim. They could be illegitimate children who wouldn't be able to marry freely within the community of Klal Yisrael. So there's a huge achrayus, there's a huge responsibility that rests upon a rabbi who gets involved in Siddur Gittin. This is why this is one area which is not performed by just anybody who has a smicho or anyone who is a shul rabbi, no matter how well trained they may be in that regard. This was always an area of halacha that was given over to those who were trained to be dayanim, those who were trained in the world of being in Beis Din. So this is one of the things that we do on a regular basis. If there's a husband and wife that need to get a divorce, so we take care of the get. Even if there would be a civil divorce, that obviously doesn't permit them to remarry. According to Torah law, we say that if a man and woman get married, and it doesn't work out, because of Los Sefer Krisus V'nasim B'yada, then the husband has to write or authorize the writing of a sefer krisus, of what we call a get. And v'nasim b'yada, he personally has to deliver it into his wife's hands. The Rambam emphasizes from the word, Maryam lo sin sochem ve'ena, that if the Torah says if the wife doesn't find favor in the husband's eyes, that means that the husband has to make a deliberate decision, that it has to be given over voluntarily. If a get wasn't given over voluntarily, then it's not considered to be a valid get. People ask, oh, but don't we have cases in the Gemara where we say, that we beat up the husband until he gives his wife a get. So why is that okay? So those cases are very few and far between. There are some cases where the situation is so egregious that the halacha would actually permit applying some extra pressure, even coercion, sometimes financial coercion, sometimes even physical coercion upon the husband to give his wife a get. That would be a case like he's roes onos, he frequents prostitutes, he beats his wife on a regular basis. Those cases don't come up too often, at least where they can be proven too often. So most of the cases are cases where you don't have the luxury to beat up a husband to give his wife a get. Yes. So
beating up a wife on a regular basis, you're saying
I'm reading from the letter of the law in the Shulchan Aruch. Obviously, if he beats his wife once, it's also a basis, you know, for putting tremendous pressure on the husband. But I'm just giving the obvious examples. I'm giving the obvious examples. There was some accident that occurred, and there's a question, did he beat her? Did he not beat her? You know, was it self-defense? It's more difficult to paskin on one isolated circumstance than when you see that there's a pattern of domestic abuse. You know, obviously, even one incident for the types of things that I'm describing already gives rise to the right to ask for a divorce and for the Beis Din to try to orchestrate that. But I'm not going to focus on that today in terms of the cases which allow for coercive measures or for extreme pressure to be placed on the husband. I'm just giving a little bit of an overview in terms of the mechanics of a get. And so the question is, is this an enterprise that we believe is a mitzvah? Is this, you know, something which is b'di'evit? Obviously, we want every single marriage to work out. People come to me and they say that you've been involved with hundreds, if not, I guess, thousands of gittin over the years. Does that desensitize a dayan over time? So the truth is that even though I've probably been involved with 3,000 plus get cases, I'm not a big fan of divorce. Obviously, according to halacha, we believe that it's nice for marriages to work out. It's better for marriages to work out. But there's an escape hatch in the event that a marriage is really not functional. So the halacha provides an escape hatch. The Rashba asks, why don't we make a bracha when a get is performed? After all, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. Because of the sefer krisus v'nasim biyado, why not make a bracha? So he says, because sometimes it's an aveira. Sometimes the couple's not really supposed to be getting divorced. The one who gives over the divorce, as we mentioned, is the husband. So there's a whole discussion in the Gemara at the end of Maseches Gittin under what circumstances is it appropriate for a husband to make that decision that he's going to divorce his wife. In the old days, before Rabbeinu Gershom came along 1,000 years ago and made a takana, it used to be that a man could divorce his wife against her will. Rabbeinu Gershom made a takana, a man can't be married to more than one wife. And he also made a takana that a man just like a, and he made a takana that just like a man has to give the wife of his own, give a get to his wife of his own volition. So too the wife has to accept the get of her own volition and it can't be given to her against her will. So that changes the dynamic a little bit. When a man would have the ability to give a get to his wife against her will, so it's a machlokis, a three-way machlokis, in the Mishnah at the end of Maseches Gittin between Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Rabbi Akiva, under what grounds can a man divorce his wife? So Beis Shammai said, so based on the pasuk, he must have by Erbos Dov, you need an Erbo. If she's unfaithful to him, she cheats on her husband, so then you know, he has to give her a get. So that's but that's the only time. They're not getting along. So Beis Shammai says that's not a reason for a man to give his wife a get. Certainly when you're speaking about a zivug rishon, a first marriage. And Beis Hillel says, afilu iticha tavshilo. Beis Hillel says, even if she burns the chulit, she's not doing a good job in terms of performing her wifely duties and causes him to be dissatisfied with his performance, with her performance as a wife. And Rabbi Akiva says, afilu masa cheres nahimena. And Rabbi Akiva says, even if he finds another woman whom he likes better, so then he can divorce his wife. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, it seems from the simple wording of the Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Yates paskins with respect to a Zivug Rishon, paskins like Beis Hillel, paskins like Beis Shammai, that a man is only allowed to divorce his wife, Ellen came Matzah by Erbas Dava, if he finds some type of impropriety with respect to his wife. Abba Lavak, he says, but otherwise we say that a man who divorces his first wife, then the Mizbeach sheds tears, because that's a very, very sad thing. However, if it's a Zivik shading, so Imsneach Yishalchena, we said we have a pasuk in the Divrei Kabbalah that indicates that if there is hatred with respect to a wife, they don't get along with each other, and it's a second marriage. He's allowed to divorce his wife simply on the basis of they're not getting along with each other. Simply on some say there has to be, you know, some provocation with respect to that as well. Saneh Shaleach, but otherwise we are a little bit more lenient when it comes to a Zivik Sheni. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky asks, what's going on over here with respect to Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva? Beis Hillel says she burns the chulin. Rabbi Akiva says that he finds somebody who's more attractive to him. Since when are we so loosey-goosey when it comes to breaking down marriages, when you have, you know, such compassionate people? Beis Hillel is supposed, you know, we speak about the tremendous humanity of Beis Hillel. We speak about the great humanity of Rabbi Akiva, V'Ahavta L'Reach Kamocha. So why are they so incredibly flexible to just allow a marriage to be torn apart? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that they're not really talking about what's recommended in terms of ending a marriage. They're talking about what's the type of attitude that people should have when they're married in the first place. So Beis Shammai says, so the attitude is that you have a marriage, it's functional, you know, they raise children or whatever, as long as they're not cheating on each other. The wife's not committing adultery. Okay, so she doesn't take care of her husband. She's not attentive. She throws the cholent in his face. It doesn't make the cholent to begin with. Burns the cholent. Doesn't take care of his needs. But the maisa, you know, at least it's a functional marriage. So that's good enough. And Beis Hillel says that, no, that's not the Jewish view of a marriage. Jewish view of a marriage has to be that not only is the couple faithful to each other, but there's a feeling that we want to do things to each other in the optimal fashion. You want to make cholent, you know, that it should taste good. You want to take care of the person's needs. You want to take care of their clothing and their shelter and their happiness and provide them with everything in the optimal fashion, that there should be a caring and a loving attitude towards each other. So that's the idea. So if there is an attitude of yikticha tavshilo, so then already there's something wrong with the marriage. Or even if the husband's attitude towards his wife is I'm dissatisfied with the way that she's doing things, so there's something wrong with his attitude towards his wife. He should be, you know, as long as she's trying hard, he should be satisfied with everything that she does. And finally, Rabbi Akiva says that there's something wrong with a marriage if a man thinks to himself, he sees another woman on the street and thinks, oh, I think that woman would be, you know, more attractive than my wife. So that shows that there's some major flaw in the way that he's approaching marriage, because a Jewish marriage is supposed to be such that the spouses are supposed to see each other, that they're the only ones, that there isn't even the possibility of thinking about something else. That's what Rabbi Kippur is saying. He's saying this is the wrong attitude to have towards marriage. The attitude you should have towards marriage is that there's not even a possibility of thinking about somebody else. And Beis Hillel is saying this, that the attitude should be that you would never be critical of what your wife does because of the fact that you look at her in terms of behalf to the Reicha Kamocha. You would cut yourself slack, so you would cut your wife slack. So it's more of an attitudinal thing. However, the Rama says in Siman Kuf Yutes that all of these restrictions regarding when a divorce can take place was v'davka b'yameim sh'yim megarshim b'al kochim. That's only in their days when they used to divorce against the will of a megarshim midaita mutter. But if it's a consensual divorce, so that's completely permissible. I attended a conference a number of years ago about divorce as perceived and as practiced by different religions. It was in Boston College. So they invited me, and they had somebody who was presenting about the Christian view of divorce, that it's an eternal bond and you can't get out of it. Like, no matter what, you have to get like a special dissolution. Not everybody can get it. You know, it's not, it's much more difficult. The parties themselves can't decide to sever the marital bond. They have to get like permission from the church to do so. So I explained that's not the Jewish attitude. The Jewish attitude is that we do allow the parties themselves consensually to end their marriage. That's we don't believe in trapping people in a situation which is unhappy and which is unpleasant if the marriage can't work out. But the Piskei Tshuva points out that's because there's an avera on the part of a husband who would give a get to his wife against her will, certainly if she hasn't cheated on him. So he says that it's not so simple that if it's consensual that it's going to be okay. Because there are different types of consensual. There's consensual where the husband turns to his wife and he says, I want to divorce you. And the wife says, well, okay, I mean, I guess I'll go along with it because I don't want to be married to a man who doesn't want to be married to me. And therefore, she goes along with it reluctantly and hesitantly. So the Piskei Tshuva says, that's still an issur. That's still an avera. That doesn't make it any better. He says, when is it that it's okay if the wife turns to the husband and the wife says to the husband, I want a divorce? So then that's considered permissible because the marriage on some level, that Tzitz Eliezer talks about this, Tosfos talks about this too, a marriage is a responsibility. That's why the husband gives the ring to the wife, says, Arayat Mekudeshesli. It's a responsibility that the husband takes on with respect to the wife. And as long as the wife wants to remain married, he's really supposed to make it work. The wife says that she wants out. Okay, so that she has that prerogative. The husband's not supposed to hold her captive in the marriage. It's what the Rambam writes. that a woman is not considered to be like a shibuya. She's not considered to be like a captive of war. Like the cavemen, you know, would take a woman in with the club and then drag them, you know, with their hair, you know, into their cave. So that's not our model of marriage. If the wife wants out and she doesn't want to be with this man, so then it is appropriate under those circumstances to give a get. It's appropriate in those circumstances to give a divorce. But what if the husband says, shalom bayis, shalom bayis? I really, you know, want to work it out. So some of the post-gim speak about how long should you, you know, work out or try to work out a marriage. When is it appropriate that we say that a get, you know, should be given? We're not necessarily coercing a get. It's not a situation where there's been domestic abuse, you know, per se. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Yoredei Chelek Dalet Siman Tes Vav, which Rav Moshe Feinstein says that if the Beis Din comes to a determination that there is no chance for Shalom Bayis, for Yashu Beis Din Choshev Lo Olav Yodam Masu Shalom B'neim, they can see that this is not going to be a functional marriage. And Rav Moshe speaks about a case where the couple is already living apart for 18 months. So then he says, "Az midin atayre ba'ofen kazeh." According to the Torah law, in this fashion, "Mukvachim yisgarish," they're obligated to get divorced. The people are not supposed to be in a non-functional marriage. We want people to be in a functional marriage. I always talk about how Maseches Gittin comes right before Maseches Kiddushin. That the idea that we get is then is that we see this marriage isn't working, so we want to free the people up to go on to another marriage that will be better. Again, neither party should hold up the get from the other one. Both of them should cooperate when there's no chance for shalom bayis. So that even if the woman says she wants shalom bayis, but it's clearly the Beis Din determines there's no chance, so she can ask like to try to make every effort, but the Beis Din sees that it's not going to work. So then and neither one should hold up the get. Even if they have monetary claims against each other, they shouldn't hold up the get. They should go in front of the Beis Din, take care of whatever monetary or other disputes they have, and they should take care of the get. That's the way Rav Moshe writes it. The idea of the 18 months comes really, I think, from the Sefer Chaim B'Shalom of Chaim Palagi, who was, I think, a 19th century Turkish rabbi, very famous rabbi. And in Chelek Beis, Ebenezer Siman Kuf Yud Beis, the Chaim B'Shalom, so he says that it is very wrong. Kshisha rotze liskarish, when a woman wants to divorce, for ishena rotze, he doesn't want to give her a get. He's holding up the get. Generally speaking, when the marriage is no longer functional, it's out of spite. There is no chance of shalom bayis. So he says, I'm going to give you a general standard at which you know that the marriage is over for sure. But you know, saying kitzus maladov or saying, I'm going to give you a time frame. When there is no longer a chance of working out through marriage counseling, and it's clear that there's terrible animosity and rancor between them, ain lam tikva, no hope. They should wait 18 months. And v'mnir lebez and lo yesh tikva l'shem shalom sum shalom b'nem. If Beis Din sees there's no chance for reconciliation after 18 months. Yafrido Azibug, they should separate them. Then he has a lashon that's very discussed later postgame, what he meant by this. And we should compel a get. So they ask me, compel a get? Compelling a get is not a simple thing when it's just irreconcilable differences. That you compel a get when my husband is beating up his wife or something like that. So maybe compulsion doesn't mean outright compulsion, but it means that there should be appropriate pressure in such a case. So some of the later posts say the 18-month standard is not always appropriate. Sometimes you can tell after 3 months. Sometimes you can tell after 3 days that a marriage is a complete disaster. Beis Din has to make a determination. You're not going to say to somebody that they're required to remain in an untenable situation, particularly if it's with an abusive person, and particularly if there's a real fear that you're not going to, maybe a get will be withheld later on in the process. So you don't always have to wait 18 months. But the main emphasis of these poskim is to say that sometimes divorce is appropriate. Sometimes divorce is appropriate. We believe in certainly trying for shalom bayis when it's possible. But, you know, at the very least, when it's clear that the wife wants a divorce and the Beis Din determines that there's no real chance for shalom bayis, so then it's appropriate for a get to be given. But then the next question that people always ask, and there's a lot of confusion in this regard, is, okay, when? So we've determined that the parties don't get along. we've determined that the marriage is no longer functional, but there are issues, like what Moshe wrote, there are monetary issues that need to be sorted out. Sometimes there are children, there are custodial issues that need to be sorted out, child support issues that need to be sorted out. So when exactly does the get given? So, you know, one prerequisite is that, well, the couple can't be living under the same roof. The Mishnah of Maseches Gittin says that if a get is given and then the couple that had been husband and wife, Alon Bepundiki, that they both reside in a motel room or in some residence together afterwards. So the get was pretty much futile because they're going to need to do another get because the assumption is that if a married couple is secluded together, then they did what married couples do, right? And they got themselves remarried during the time that they were together, since they already had, you know, a previous affinity for each other at one point in time, a closeness, a physical intimacy. So we're concerned that that must have happened again, even if the witnesses don't see it happen, but they just see them walk into the apartment where they're going to be alone with each other. You'd be surprised how much this Shaila has come up in recent years. I can't explain exactly why, but we've learned that it's important to say to a couple that you have to be careful not to be secluded with each other again, because otherwise that could require another get. I don't know. Sometimes they're not only secluded with each other, but they're more than secluded with each other. I won't say it's the most common thing, but it does seem to happen from time to time. It's a little confusing. Sometimes, you know, it's okay for a couple that got divorced to get remarried as long as the man's not a Kohen, but I can't say I fully understand it, but certainly, you know, it's something that the Chachamim in the Gemara understood. So for sure, you can't perform a get in the first place when a couple is going to continue to live in the same residence, even if they're in the process of figuring out who's going to move out. One is living in one bedroom, one's living in another bedroom. It doesn't matter. They're still, you know, secluded within a circumscribed space where they could, you know, have intimacy with each other. So therefore, you know, you can't do the get while they're living together. But let's say that they're separated from each other. Do you have to wait for the civil divorce? You have to wait until, you know, all aspects of the divorce have been settled before you do the get. Do we say that's part of the nas and las sefer krisus? Krisus means a cutting off, a complete separation between the two parties. Do we say that you need a complete cutting off, a complete, you know, krisus, a complete severing of the ties, as it were? Or can the get be done prior to the civil divorce, prior to resolving all the issues? It's interesting because there's a different dynamic in the rabbinical courts in Eretz Yisrael than there is in the rabbinical courts outside of Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, the Batei Din generally do have jurisdiction over marriage and divorce matters. Certainly when it comes to a get, everybody has to come to the Beis Din. They have the ability to summon people to come in for the Beis Din. I mean, that's they have governmental authority to force a husband to come in, to force a woman, a wife to come in. They can impose penalties. They can throw people in jail for failing to cooperate with the guests. They have a lot more power than we do when it comes to these matters, but they also can adjudicate the entire case. I mean, it's a little bit of a race to the courthouse in Eretz Yisrael because the secular courts also have jurisdiction when it comes to adjudicating the monetary issues and the child issues. So whichever court begins the case or receives the docket first is the one that ends up with jurisdiction. It could be the Beis Din, it could be the secular court. It's kind of interesting how that works. But if the Beis Din is adjudicating the case, they're adjudicating all the monetary aspects of the case. So there's no difference in Eretz Yisrael between the get and the civil divorce. Like the get is the civil divorce. It's not like you get a get document and then you get a separate document saying, oh, here's your civil divorce judgment. The get constitutes a civil divorce. It constitutes the divorce decree that enables a party to get remarried. So therefore, the normal course of proceedings in the Rabbanut will be that when do you deliver the civil divorce? You deliver the civil divorce when everything has been adjudicated. So therefore, there's no question that gets done, you know, after everything has been adjudicated. So somebody made a movie a number of years ago called Mikudesh, Trapped in Marriage or something, that like made it seem very scary and terrible to be married, because then you can end up being in a guna. Chas v'shalom, it shouldn't be that way. It should be very beautiful to be married, because you should be in a beautiful, sacred, you know, marital relationship. And hopefully most, you know, marriages, you know, are successful. And if they're not, then a woman shouldn't be in a guna, obviously. But in this movie, what they showed is sort of like, it was a pseudo semi documentary, I guess. They showed how women, you know, were suffering because they were languishing for so long in their cases before the divorce could be finalized, and as a result, they couldn't get their get. But it wasn't exactly what it seemed, that the women were going to be agunot. What it meant was just their divorce cases were dragging on. You have that in secular courts with non-Jews as well, that sometimes divorce cases drag on for a long time and a person can't get remarried until the divorce case is finalized. So it was, you know, I think a little bit misleading in the sense that these weren't cases where, but for the get, the woman would be able to remarry. No, it's just that the divorce case wasn't settled yet and it was, you know, dragging on. Now, if the reason it's dragging on is because the husband is holding back the get as leverage, so, you know, then there's more of an argument, obviously, but I think it's a little murkier, a little bit more complicated in Eretz Yisrael. Here in America, you have to ask the question, well, this one document that, you know, gets issued by the civil courts, even if Beis Din adjudicates the case, the Beis Din doesn't hand down the civil divorce document. The Beis Din might adjudicate the case, but then the parties still have to go to civil court to receive, like, the civil divorce judgment. It might be that they will file a marital settlement agreement, what's called an MSA, based on a decision, a monetary decision that was handed down by the Beis Din, but they still have to receive the civil divorce decree from the civil court, which is separate and distinct from the Beis Din. So is there a preference in terms of the order? So it's interesting because there's a Rav Moshe Feinstein has a number of tshuvos, actually, which he talks about, well, when a woman receives a get, does that imply that she has waived any kind of monetary claims, so that if she's received the get, she wouldn't have the right to assert any monetary claims afterwards? And he actually writes that in a tshuva in Chelek Dalav Eben Ezer Siman Kuf Tes Zayin. He says that, you know, one of the parts of the get script that we have is that we ask the wife, where we give her the get, do you waive the ksuba? And typically she'll say, yes, I waive the ksuba. So Moshe says, it's not only the ksuba, she's waiving, you know, all monetary claims, because it's understood that at the time that you get around to doing the get, everything else has, you know, already been settled. Why is it that there would be assumption that everything else has already been settled? So this is actually found in the Seder get. In the back of Hilchos Gittin, there are various summaries regarding the proceedings of when a get should be, of how you go about doing a get. Like step by step, it has, like, here is sort of, you know, the checklist or the script of how one goes about doing a get. And in the Seder get, at the end of Hilchos Gittin, so the Ramah quotes from the Ma'ari Mintz, V'yishal HaRav, when the get is given over, the Rav should ask the wife, Achar HaKsuvah Shetaksu L'Baal HaKsuvah. The wife should return the Ksuvah to the husband. O Timcho Lo Kadesh Lo Yavo Achar Kak L'Dei Ketat Machmas HaKsuvah. Or she should, you know, forgive it, so that there will not be a fight afterwards regarding the Ksuvah. V'shiyayma HaBaal Menaskein Lo Girsha. So the husband shouldn't be able to say, had I known that the wife would assert these specific claims, I never would have given the get. In other words, that there seems to be a concern about a get mutter, that the get will be cast into question if things are not settled before the get is given, and the husband can then claim afterwards, well, I never would have given the get had I known that my wife would assert all of these various claims. So the question is, how serious a concern is this really? Rav Moshe has another case that he dealt with, that this is in Simon, this is in Eben Ezer, Chelek Gimel, hold on, Eben Ezer, Chelek Gimel, Simon Lamed Zion, where he deals with a case where there was a settlement in front of the Beis Din regarding the get and regarding a civil and regarding monetary issues as well. And somehow they never took care of the civil divorce. A little confusing. Originally, it was going to be done in Mexico. Then they moved it to New York because the husband was from the United States. But somehow it never really happened. And the husband, they did the get. The husband went to, and they resolved really all of the monetary issues in Beis Din. And now the husband got married in Eretz Yisrael, and he wasn't opposed to like the civil divorce being taken care of. It just thought, for whatever reason, it never got filed. And he got married to a woman in Toronto, in Eretz Yisrael, and they moved to Toronto. All of the problematic cases in this regard seem to have a Toronto component for some reason. I'm not sure why. So the couple ended up going back to Toronto, and the woman sued her ex-husband because they didn't have a civil divorce yet. And she said, I want marital support because we're still husband and wife. And by the way, I'm also initiating criminal proceedings against my husband for committing bigamy because he was married to another woman. And the husband got really upset and said, I never would have given the get had I known that she's going to make all of these claims. And I already settled all of our finances in Beis Din. So the question that Moshe had to deal with was, is the get, do we say that the get retroactively is invalid in this particular case? So Moshe says, no, he thinks that the get is, kosher for two reasons. Number one, if you look in the Gemara, he says, we do find a number of cases where there was a get, and then the woman makes a claim for her ksube afterwards. In other words, it's not etched in stone that the order has to be that all monetary issues are resolved before there is a get. There is a possibility that sometimes it could be done afterwards. Secondly, he said that the husband should have seen this coming. He knew that he had this exposure. He didn't make a tanai. He didn't say when he gave the get that this is on condition that she's not going to bring any claims afterwards. He knew that as long as the civil divorce was not resolved, there was a possibility, that there was a risk that the woman could ask for support in the civil courts. And therefore, since he took this risk, the get is not going to be rendered invalid retroactively. It's kind of interesting because even in the Seder, a get that appears at the end of Hilchos Gittin in the Shulchan Aruch, the Piskei Tshuva there on that page, which in your source sheets is really, really difficult to read. The Piskei Tshuva quotes a tshuva from the Maharam Al Shikar, which dealt with a case where a man had fled and was refusing to give a get to his wife. That was a real Aguna case. And then he sent word to his father that it seems like his father was a good guy in this case, was trying to maybe facilitate the get. It's a little bit unclear. So he sent word to his father, if my wife will be mashlish the ksuba, if she will take the ksuba and give it over to a third party, so then I will be willing to send over the get. And sure enough, that's what she did. She gave over the ksuba to a third party, but she did a mesiras moda. She went in front of two witnesses and she said, despite the fact that I'm giving over the ksuba to a third party, I am not forfeiting my rights to assert the right to monetary support from the ksuba after the get. I'm doing this under duress because my husband is forcing me to do this. Otherwise, he's not going to send again. He's going to disappear for another 5 years. He had already disappeared for a few years beforehand. Husband got word, the father sent word that the wife, the father of the husband had sent word that the wife had been mashlish the get, that she had escrowed the get with this third party. So the husband wrote a get without any conditions, and the wife received the get. And then she went to the third party and she said, well, I escrowed the ksuba with you. Please give the ksuba back to me. And then she made the claim with respect to the ksuba. So the question was the husband, hoodwinked so that we'll say that the get was given under mistaken pretenses and is invalid. And the Maharam Al Shikar said, nothing doing. And Ramosha even quotes this in his tshuva, says that we don't so easily invalidate a get, that the husband took a calculated risk. The number one, the husband should have realized that she's going to do a mesiras moda because he was basically putting her under duress, because it wasn't as if she wanted to escrow the ksuba with somebody else. She was escrowing the ksuba only because he was forcing her to do so. Number two, the husband didn't make a condition at the time that he gave the get. He could have said, I'm only giving this get on condition that she's not going to bring a claim with respect to the ksuba. Number three, all that he asked for was, it wasn't so smart. All that he asked was that she escrow the ksuba. He didn't ask her to write a waiver of the ksuba, just to escrow the ksuba. Great, she did escrow the ksuba.
So she did exactly what he asked her to do. She escorted the ksuba, and then she got the ksuba back. He never said invalidate the ksuba. He just said escort the ksuba. So Moshe, you know, clearly makes clearly indicates that you're not going to invalidate it yet just because there are some issues that are asserted afterwards. On the other hand, there is another tshuva by Ramoshe maybe here Ramoshe also was personally involved. You get that sense. This is in Chelek Dalet Simen Kufetes above, Simen Kufetes Zayin, excuse me. This tshuva was written before the other tshuvas. So you could say that if, in fact, there is a contradiction between the tshuvas, the one that's controlling is the one that I just mentioned, namely that we would not invalidate the get retroactively, but maybe there's no contradiction. This tshuva, Ramoshe himself sat on a case. It was a Din Torah, husband and wife, and they took care of the monetary issues, and they took care of the get. The wife, in this case, it was the wife that went off to Eretz Yisrael. And when she was off to Eretz Yisrael, so she had a get, she can remarry. But the husband was now in Toronto, again, the Toronto connection. And wanted the wife to cooperate with him being able to obtain a civil divorce. He gave whatever money the Beis Din required him to give at the time that they adjudicated the Din Torah that Ramosha was involved with. And now he just wanted cooperation. And here he had explicitly asked the wife and the wife's father in particular, his shver, he had asked him to help out in terms of obtaining the Toronto divorce. And the father had said, he is not going to interfere at all. He will facilitate the divorce in Toronto so the husband can get remarried. So then the husband wanted to facilitate the divorce, and the wife's father said, "Well, then give us $1,000. Give us $1,000. We're not going to help you out unless you give us $1,000." So Ramoshe, in this case, got very, very upset. And said, quoting from the Mishnah in Maseches Kitten, he said, "Yafesh tikuseich midiburech, that you would be better off being silent than saying something." What was the case of the Mishnah of Yafesh tikuseich midiburech? The case there was a man who's married to a woman, and the woman is an islandess, meaning that she doesn't have the signs of maturity of a regular woman. She doesn't develop them after they got married. So I can't be married to a woman like this. She's not capable of bearing children. She's not capable of maturing like an adult, a woman. And then she ended up marrying somebody else and having children with the other person. So the guy, you know, the husband had divorced her, he had divorced her based on the fact that she was, you know, an islandess. And now it turns out that she's not an islandess, but she comes, so we say, that she's not entitled to the ksuba when he divorced her. So at least he has a consolation, okay? Because he thought she was an islandess, so at least he didn't have to pay the ksuba. But now she's coming back to him, and she's saying, "Well, it turns out I wasn't an islandess after all, so give me my ksuba." So because, you know, it turns out I really was entitled to a ksuba. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Omer La, we say to her, "Shtikusech yafe midiburech. You're better off not saying anything, because the husband's going to say, had I known that I would have to give you a ksuba, I never would have divorced you. And I know that, you know, you're going to, you know, go off and you're going to get married to somebody else. You're going to actually be able to have children." So then now he's going to assert the whole thing was based on false pretenses, and the get's not a valid get, and her children are mamzerim. So Ramosha used the same lashon over here. He said, "You're better off not interfering, and because it's really going to cast aspersions on the get that was given." And why is it that it's going to cast aspersions on the get that was given? So Moshe said, because here there was an explicit verbalization on the part of the husband that he was only giving the get on the basis of his understanding that no further claims were going to be made against him. When it is explicitly tied together with the get, so then from the sugya in Maseches Gittin, says that, you know, mem vavam and base, so then it becomes, you know, much more problematic halachically in terms of the validity of the get. So there's a very simple solution, though, to all of this. What's the simple solution? So the Aruch HaShulchan really spells out what's the simple solution. Let's say that it's determined that it's a good idea to do the get early on, but there are some claims that might potentially be asserted afterwards. So it says the Aruch HaShulchan, this is really how it goes. Yodiyem shisparduz emizug gamidine mominus. When the get's being given over, you explain to the people that they're not going to have a monetary relationship with each other anymore. But if there is a possibility that maybe they will have still some monetary obligations that need to be sorted out, you just make it clear, you stipulate at the time that you do the divorce, you do the get, you tell the husband, this is not going to affect the validity of the get, even if you're not satisfied with how things are settled afterwards. Shima filo tekayim, even if she doesn't keep what she's supposed to do, again, nisha b'tokvo, then the get is going to remain in full force. And who was it who actually recommended that a get be given prior to the civil divorce? It was none other than Rav Yosef Elio Henkin. Now, Henkin was really the major posek in America in, let's say, 1950s, 1960s, before, you know, Rav Moshe really catapulted to stardom. Rav Henkin, you know, was really the main posek. And Rav Henkin said he saw so many cases where couples just either don't get around to doing the get, because after the civil divorce is over, if they're not that observant and it's not like, you know, in the top of their radar, they just, you know, forget that they're supposed to do it all together, and, you know, they can operate in more secular circles where the get is not necessarily a priority, or the divorce just becomes so acrimonious over time that even if there would have been a willingness to give the get in the first place, that willingness goes away as the case goes on. And unfortunately, we see that, you know, more and more. I spoke to Rav Melech Schechter, Zechat Tzadik Livracha, so was the father of Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita, and he was a Masada Gittin. This was, you know, he was a diet, and this is something that he did very regularly. And he said that when he started out, he felt that it was always good form and good practice to make sure that the party settled everything before they did the get. But then when he saw how much abuse there was and how many cases actually became contentious as time went on, so even though there was a willingness to give a get at the beginning, there wasn't a willingness to give a get at the end. So then he changed his tune, and he felt that it's much better to do the get as early as possible when it's clear that you're not going to have any kind of a reconciliation, rather than to wait for later on. So when people come to us, you know, at the CRC, we generally will recommend that a get should be given as soon as possible whenever it's clear that the couple is going to be divorced. There used to be language on the website that's kind of indicated, well, you know, you'll do your civil divorce and then you'll do the get. So I kind of, you know, made sure that we tweaked the language a little bit. What I think the language was meant to connote was more that the Beis Din doesn't want to precipitously bring about an end to a marriage if there really is a good chance that, you know, the marriage could be reconciled. We want to make sure that the couples have gone for counseling, and counseling is a possibility and things of that sort, but not to connote that you can't do the get prior to there being a civil divorce. So we changed the language to simply say that as a general rule, we want to make sure that the parties are really serious, that there should have been like a filing at least for a civil divorce before the Beis Din is going to get involved, that it should at least have reached that stage. However, not that you have to have had a completion of the civil divorce. So I think what it says now on the Beis Din homepage, I'm not sure it's the most perfect language, but it says like this: can a get be written where the divorce has not been finalized? So we say the get is usually written after the couple has filed for civil divorce. This ensures that the Beis Din will do nothing that interferes with applicable state law governing dissolution of marriages. I have no idea what that sentence means. However, if a divorce proceeding is imminent, a get may be written earlier under special circumstances as determined by the Beis Din. Okay. And then we talk about including the get in divorce settlement agreements, because sometimes parties will sign a settlement agreement pursuant to which they agree that they'll take care of the get. But those are problematic because they're not so easily enforceable. So the way in which I've recommended that people do those settlement agreements is that you don't have the settlement agreement go into effect and then just say 30 days later there'll be a get, but rather you say that none of the terms of the agreement will go into effect until the get is completed. Both parties hereby agree and consent that the other terms of this agreement shall not become final before the get has been obtained. This way, you make sure that the parties understand they have to take care of the get, and it's not something right away, and it's not something which will be fulfilled 30 days out after the civil divorce has been completed, when there may be no ability to enforce the clause from the perspective of halacha or secular law. So it's much better to just make it one integrated package. Yes, Ira.
It takes a few years ago, actually, New York has a consul, or actually probably called Pohak Mishay. And the judge ruled was he was willingness, well, basic willingness to give the get. The judge said, fine, you're going to write the get. He spoke to the head of the Beit Din in Queens, and he was in Queens, that's writing the get. And he said, we are going to hold the get in abeyance or escrow, whatever you want to call it. In other words, the get will be issued, and we will not release it to the parties until the issues in the civil court are resolved. That way, you guys want to get the get's written, it's kosher, but you don't get the benefit of it until you settle all of the rest of the matters in the civil court and begins the divorce.
A get is not really a get until it reaches the wife's hands. I am not a fan. I am not a fan of writing a get at any point in time until it can actually be delivered immediately to the wife. You have a real problem from an aguna perspective if a get is written and it's just being held without being delivered to the wife, because then the husband can say, I'm not being ma'agin my wife because I wrote a get. But Lemaisa says she's an aguna because it's absolutely meaningless to her until she receives the get. And there are also various vagaries and various pitfalls that could occur between the writing of the get and the delivery of the get that's for another time. But I have learned over the years, I'm over 20 years of get experience, not to write a get, okay, as a general rule, unless the get is capable of being delivered to the wife immediately without any conditions. So, you know, I once did a get where, you know, it was clear that there was nothing to worry about. It was an elderly couple. They weren't so firm. And the wife's lawyer agreed to this arrangement as well, that the husband would write the get. She was afraid that as time passed, like, she wouldn't be able to focus him on it. But he didn't want the get to be delivered until the civil divorce. But, you know, they agreed that as soon as we would receive a copy of the first and last page of the civil divorce, that the get could be delivered immediately. It wouldn't require a determination that all the conditions and terms of the civil divorce have been fulfilled, because people can argue whether that's true or not. And the wife was comfortable and her lawyer was comfortable with it. And I did it in that one case. But it was one case, really, in 20 years. I remember, you know, one case I'd been involved with beforehand, where the get was written with the understanding it would be delivered upon the end of the civil divorce. And the civil divorce had dragged out for like 4 years. And the wife was incredibly upset with the Bezdin, but the Bezdin had made her an aguna by agreeing to this arrangement. And she could not receive that get until the motion after motion after motion after motion had been fought out and, you know, and decided in court. And the civil divorce was just dragging on forever. So I've learned, you know, to be very wary of those things. So one fellow who was a magian who walked into my office and said, I'll give a get as soon as the California divorce is over. And I knew that the couple was like, you know, getting that the wife lived in Eretz Yisrael. So I found out that, in fact, there was no divorce proceeding in California. And had we written the get with a stipulation that it would be delivered when the California divorce becomes final, then Ara Yom HaSesh, she would still not have her get. So you have to be very, very, you know, careful about these things, about, you know, these conditions and stipulations. Just very quickly, because we're over time. So Menashe Klein wrote a letter to Rabbi Kenneth Alman in Brooklyn about the question of why was it that Rabbi Klein, who was the author of Mishnah Halachos, he was not in favor of doing the get until the end of the civil divorce. So there's a tshuva, Mishnah Halachos, from Rabbi Klein to Rabbi Alman, which he gives a different argument. In addition to, you know, Mari Mintz's argument that maybe the husband will argue that, you know, he didn't really, you know, intend to give the get if there would be monetary claims brought afterwards. In addition to the argument, maybe it's not really krisis, that's not really an argument, because the ma'aseh get is a get. But so he brought a third argument that there's a gemara in Sugos that says that it's improper for a husband and wife to appear in Beis Din together after they have been halakhically divorced. And that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, Grusha Shibayim Megarish Ladin. If a Grusha comes with the man who she was previously married to, and they come together, they're appearing together in the same room, the Beis Din Menadin Mosom Umakin Mosom Makas Mardus. We give them either makas, lashes, or we put them in cherem, because it's a terrible thing. When a couple's divorced, they're not supposed to be together with it afterwards. You know, I get the shaila sometimes. Couples divorced, they want to have like a Shabbos meal together, a Yontif meal together, you know, just for the sake of the children. So I give a response, which is really the proper halachic, you know, response, even though maybe it's not appreciated. I say, if you're comfortable enough sitting together for a Shabbos meal or Yontif meal, then you really just shouldn't get divorced in the first place. That, I mean, I don't mean to be insensitive, because we understand all kinds of reasons people get divorced, but halakhically speaking, it's not really considered to be proper. Halakhically speaking, once, you know, there is a get, that there really is supposed to be a division, a separation, between a severing of ties between the parties. So Rav Menashe Klein said, so since you're going to have to continue to adjudicate the case, so it would be improper for them to come to Beis Din afterwards, once it's already been a get. That's the reason why you have to adjudicate all the matters beforehand, so that they won't appear in court together afterwards. So the truth is, Rabbi Yosef Goldberg, who's a dayan in Eretz Yisrael, has written a couple of really excellent svarim about Hilchos Gittin. So he addressed this issue, and he points out, if you look at the sugya in the Gemara, Sig Suvis Daf Chof Kles, it's not so clear that this applies to everybody. According to the Rashi, it only applies to an Ashes Kohen. It only applies because a Kohen is not going to be allowed to remarry his wife afterwards, so we don't want them to get too chummy with each other. And the Rambam, who says that it applies to everybody, according to the interpretation of the Kesef Mishnah, who, by the way, also happens to be the Shulchan Aruch. So his interpretation, the Rambam talks about this in two places, in Perek Chof of Hilchos Yisuri B and Perek Vav of Hilchos Talmud Torah. So the Kesef Mishnah and the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah says that the Rambam interprets the Gemara as speaking about when they enter into a monetary transaction with each other after they have already been halakhically divorced. But if they're coming to Beis Din in order to settle differences with each other that had arisen before their halakhic divorce, so we don't find that there is any kind of prohibition, at least as understood by the Rambam, and given that the codification of this halakha in the Shulchan Aruch is by the Shulchan Aruch, who is the one who interpreted the Rambam, you know, in this fashion. So Rav Yosef Goldberg, and I saw this by others as well, felt that this was a sufficient argument and not to be worried about the fact that you might need to have an ongoing adjudication with the parties even after the delivery of the delivery of the get. The last thing is that Rapenkin had language that has kind of in his article, which appeared in Hapardes, the Hapardes journal. So he had language that kind of influenced the way that Peturin get written in America. So he said that you have to make it very clear. You have to spread the word, publicize it. This will be the best thing to have the get prior to the civil divorce. So he said, but what happens? The one thing you don't want to run afoul of the authorities. So he said, the one thing I recommend when you do the pitur, when you write the pitur, as said Rapenkin, Barak lechtob pitur, in, you know, the pitur is the official get certificate. It's not the get itself. The get itself remains on file in the Beis Din, generally speaking, but the parties get a divorce certificate, a tudas gerushin, which is a certificate that certifies that they are divorced according to halacha. So it says, "Rak lifto be'apitur shal pichukai medina zukukim shneim le'divorce b'dinei hachok." You just have to write in the pitur that, you know, you're not going against the civil law, that there's an understanding that the parties also have to receive a civil divorce in accordance with the law of the land. So this resulted in language that became very commonplace in many, you know, pturin, many of the certificates of Jewish divorce, say so-and-so is free to marry any Jew. Let's say it's the woman's certificate of Jewish divorce. She's free to marry any Jew except the Kohen, right? Because, you know, she can't marry Kohen, she's a Grusha. After a waiting period of 92 days, she has to do a Avchana from the above date, and provided that she is also civilly divorced. So some of the Dayanim, when we started having get conferences for Dayanim in North America, so the first get conference that we had, so we were discussing a number of years ago, we were discussing issues like that all of the Bati Din should really, you know, think about or rethink about. So one of the Dayanim brought up this issue, said, no, it sounds a little bit like a reservation. You're not supposed to have a reservation, a shiur, and a get, to say, oh, this is a get, except for the following. Shuv to this, there's a tshuva by Rabbi Kivega that if you say, no, this is a complete get according to Jewish law, just the civil authorities might, you know, still consider you as having, you know, certain relationships with each other. So Rabbi Kivega says that's not necessarily a shiur, it's not necessarily a reservation, but still, it doesn't necessarily sound so perfect. So everybody said, but Rav Henkin said that you had to have this language. But then when we look closely at Rav Henkin's language doesn't say, provided that the parties are also civilly divorced. Rav Henkin's language says that Barak Alifto Bet Petor Shal Pi Chukei Medina Zekukim Shneim Divorce Medina Yachok, that the parties still have to take care of their civil divorce. So new language has been drafted now, and then instead of having that language saying provided, we just say the person is free to marry according to, you know, Jewish law, and we have an additional sentence. There's an additional sentence that says the parties are required to obtain a civil divorce as required by applicable law, or in the Hebrew section, Hatzdadim Zikukim LeDivorce Kefi Chukei HaMedina. So that's a little bit of better language in order to get the same points. In order to get the same points, of course, but obviously, Batidin, however it's expressed, have to be careful that they're not going out and endorsing that the parties go and get, you know, remarried before they've taken care of their civil divorce, because, you know, that could potentially lead to, you know, bigamy, at least according to, you know, civil law, and could lead to, you know, Chilul Hashem. But at the same time, halakhically speaking, it has to be clear as well that the get is a complete get, and that the parties, at least from the perspective of halakha, are considered to be 100% divorced according to Jewish law. And we will stop here. I apologize for going a little bit over time. We'll continue, Mr. Shem, next week.
Yes. Mara, are we?
Let me put on my mask.